Amen. Well, do keep Matthew's Gospel open in front of you if you can, as we consider what the Bible has to say to us this morning. And let me just pray about that. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight here this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. So we often say here as a Bible teaching church that the Bible is all about Jesus. And if you don't know your Bible and you don't know your way around the Bible, you might wonder about that. But what we sometimes say as a shorthand to help us is that in the Old Testament, we find Jesus promised and prophesied. And we've been looking at that. And if you've got Matthew open in front of you, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we looked from Abraham to David and saw Jesus promised. And we saw in the Kings from David down to the Babylonian exile that he was pictured. And then we saw in the time of the exile through to Christ that he was prophesied. So that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, we find Jesus revealed to us. This is eyewitness testimony. In the Acts of the Apostles, we find Jesus preached, because those who'd seen him then proclaimed him to other people. In the letters, we find Jesus and his ministry, his theology, explained. And in the book of Revelation, we find Jesus expected, because he's coming back. But I wonder what the Bible is to you this morning. You see, for many, it's not that simple. We don't have that number of ways of being around. Have you discovered that yet this Christmas? There are some people who drop in for a flying visit, and it's all business. Let's do presents. Lovely presents. Thank you very much. Got to go. Bang. Very business-like visit. Some people do that. There are other people who come, and when they arrive, it's all about them. Now, sometimes that's really needy because they've brought a little baby with them. I'm not picking on you, but when you bring a little babies have needs. And when they come, it needs to be about them. Some of them come and it doesn't need to be about them, but let's not go there. Look, but sometimes it needs to be about some people. When they visit, it's all about you. They're really interested in you. They want to hear where you're at. And the best of all visit is the one who doesn't just want to be interested in you, but who also cares about you and wants to help you. And that is Jesus' visit. He wants to shepherd his people. He's not taking over the action. It's not all about him. He came to shepherd the people. It's not all about him. We know it's not all about him because we're told he's born in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is a nothing town. We think Bethlehem is great, but Bethlehem in Scripture is a nothing town. It's picked because it's a nothing town. It's picked because it's the least of these, and nothing good. No good ruler comes out of Bethlehem. That's a mistake, of course, because if you look back at the Bible account, there's some key people come out of Bethlehem. David, the shepherd king. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. These people point to the Lord Jesus, who comes to shepherd his people. And let's make sure we understand shepherding. It's not quad bikes and dogs. It's not hounding sheep into the next field. It's walking into the field and calling, often singing, so that the sheep follow and are led by their kindly master to the place of comfort, of good food, of safety. Shepherding was that way of life, nomadic in a sense, because you walked the sheep with you. The Lord Jesus, wonderfully, later on in his ministry in John chapter 10, it's recorded for us, will claim that he is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. All of the beginning of chapter 10, he tells us that he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's not the hired hand who runs away when the wolf comes. He's the good shepherd who knows his own, and his own know him. And when some people questioned him and said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly," he said, "I did tell you, and you don't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe me because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Wonderfully, in the Old Testament times, if two shepherds came together in a fold for the night and then left in the morning, the one would stand up and sing or call out, and his sheep would come and follow him. And the other shepherd's sheep wouldn't, until he stood up and walked out and called or sang, and they would follow him. My friends, do you hear the call of this caring shepherd on your life this morning? Christmas is no con. God is calling to you in and through the person of Jesus. His very being here, his life's work, his death and resurrection are all God saying, I want to be reconnected with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to take you from this life into the next to spend eternity with me and all my people in heaven, in glorious heaven. And that reconnection is not about God lording it over you. He's not going to boss you around. He's not going to force you into it. He comes to care for you. He wants to give you the best. And the best is what is on offer. Jesus is no crime lord. He's a carer. He's a shepherd who leads the people by the sound of his voice into green pastures. And the question this Christmas time is, will you answer the call? Will you follow the shepherd all the way to heaven? If you would like to do that, we would like to help you. It's a lovely book on the table over there called Christmas Jackpot, a way to find true riches and to get really rich this Christmas. It's free for you to take and to read. And we'd love to share that with you. If you would like to explore the Bible some more next year, beginning of the year, we'll be running an inquirer's course. Please say that you'd like to come along and we will be in touch at the right time. My friends, the real meaning of Christmas is not a con but a call by our glorious Shepherd King Jesus.